Wind Down with Janet Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
I really need this email to send right now, and it's so frustrating because everything else that we can't do, I can't even send an email.
That's all I got.
All I have is my phone right now.
What day are we on quarantining?
That's the crazy thing. I don't even know what day it is today.
Yeah, the days of the week definitely have been blending together.
This is why I feel like, where the other day I was like, is this what you feel like when you're in jail? Because I couldn't even tell you what day it was. I was like, is it Tuesday or is it Saturday? Or is it Sunday?
Didn't even matter.
Does it even matter? I don't think so. But no, seriously, this is frustrating me. Anyways, really cool guests today. We have Tony Dovolani. Actually, I should say it like the Dancing with the Stars. Up next, Tony Dovolani and his partner. Who did he dance with, actually? Oh, I think Melissa Rycroft. I think he won with Melissa, but I might be not right about that. I'll have to look really fast.
Was he on before you?
Yes, he was before me. He wasn't my season.
Was he a pro?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure he won with Melissa Rycroft, but I can't remember if I'm making that up or not.
If they did a Dancing with the Stars All-Stars, would you do it?
1,000%. One, like, gazillion, million, trillion percent yes.
Do you think if they did a couples Dancing with the Stars, you'd want to do it with me?
No.
Why not?
You did win with Melissa Rycroft. You were correct.
I was right, because I totally remember watching that. Thank you, Easton. Why? Because we already want to kill each other enough, so I don't think we need to add dancing to it.
You don't think we'd make it out of there alive?
No. But also because, like, as much as I fought with, like, Gleb, I couldn't imagine fighting with you about the dance moves and not doing it right. It would just be disaster. Like, yeah. Disaster. Like, I was able to leave Gleb at the end of the day. I couldn't leave you. I'd have to go home to you. So, nope. But Sean, it's funny, Sean Johnson and I were talking about that because she did Dancing with the Stars and then she also did an All-Stars. And
did she win?
Yes, she won. She didn't win All-Stars, but she won, I think, her season. And she was saying how she would do a couples one with Andrew. She's like, although I think it would be rough.
We would have to, if that happened, you and Sean can just like get an apartment together for the time and me and Andrew would just live together for the time.
And our kids would be where?
I don't know. I didn't think that far ahead.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that was what was so stressful. I'll say the one stressful thing, obviously, with you were gone. But, you know, Jolie was, 6 months old. So I would dance 10 hours of the day. And then I'd go home and be a mom. I was exhausted by the end of the day. So it was – so that's where I would say, no, I wouldn't do it. Because mm-hmm. Now we have two kids.
Yeah, but, that'd be a lot.
But knowing that, like, you would be with them, then I would do it. Like, one. And I would like to go back and have you in the audience.
I would love to support you through that.
That would have been great. But, yep. Not going to bring it up. Yeah, that was a tough time. But anyways. But, yeah. So, we have Tony Dovolani coming on. And then to talk about what he's doing with Face Mask. And then I don't want to talk about it anymore because I'm getting sick of talking about it. I even yelled at my walking girl group today because they were just talking about it in hospitals. I was like, I get it. I can't talk about it anymore. It's stressing me out. I'm having anxiety attack. Yes, we're aware and we're doing what we have to do to stay home, but I don't want to talk. I can't talk about it today. So we need to have something else on. And you brought up two really cool guests that are going to be on today.
Yeah, we're going
to talk not about the coronavirus.
Not at all. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk to Bradley Bozeman and his wife, Nikki. Bradley is going into his second year in the NFL. He's offensive guard for the Baltimore Ravens. And there's a story I read on him recently on ESPN that I'll touch on. But two amazing guests. They have an incredible message. And what they're doing with their platform is amazing and truly humbling. So we'll take a break and then we'll dive in with them.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
Tony?
Yes.
Hey, Tony, it's Mike and Jana. How you doing?
How you guys doing? All right.
Tony Dovolani.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. It's not like I'm doing a lot.
You and us both.
Yeah. We're just trying to fill all that time that we're used to being busy with.
But Tony, you are doing a lot though right now with your, can you tell us about the Million Mask Movement, please, on GoFundMe?
Yeah. We started a Million Mask Movement because as Fred Astaire Dance Studios, as dancers, we have a responsibility to always try to make a difference and use our platform to try to bring awareness to things that might be needed in our society. And in this particular moment, masks, can you believe this? Masks, an actual mask is needed more than ever before. Our medical workers are in desperate need of masks to just protect themselves, let alone hand out to people to for them to be protected. I mean, we've all been quarantined, but our hospitals are overflowing with people that are sick and they don't have protective masks. So we decided to do something about it. And the ballroom industry has amazing dressmakers and amazing students that got together and decided that this could be something that we can make a difference with. And we started a GoFundMe page, which if you go to my Instagram and go to my bio, the GoFundMe page tag is there. We were able to already raise close to $40,000, and
wow,
all of that money is going into making masks. And we already had quite a few shipments to different hospitals across the country, and the response has been overwhelming. You know, it's so satisfying to know that it's going to a good place, and people are extremely grateful, and just they feel like we really are making a difference. So it's been so satisfying in every which way. So, you know, while I'm home and while a lot of my friends through the Fred Astaire Dance Studios organization have been home, we haven't been sitting in our turf, for lack of a better example. We've been actually making a difference, and we feel really good about it.
What did you pair with any of the other Dancing with the Stars dancers?
No, actually, this was directly just with the Fred Astaire Dance Studios and myself. I've been promoting it on Instagram. Some of them have retweeted, like for example, Leah Remini actually retweeted my repost, whatever it's called, one of my things. But it's been really great so far. The response to me, it's. Every single celebrity wants to feel like they want to do something to make a difference. I just happen to be very lucky to be a part of the Fred Astaire organization, where they actually have a company that is across the country, you know, very active, proactive when it comes to the community and making a difference. And you know, with between our 200 schools across the country that we have, the students have really stepped up and made a difference.
That's so awesome. You should, and at the end of the day, you should, you know, be so proud of yourself and just like the community and how much they've just really rallied. I mean, that's incredible when you are able to give back in that way.
Honestly, as Americans, we owe it to each other in a sense. I mean, we live in this incredible country, and when things like this happen, this is where our character is made up. You know, we need to step up and make it, you know, do whatever it takes to beat this. You know, this is what we were supposed to band together with, obviously, with proximity. Because nowadays, you're not supposed to be close to anybody, but we can do it through the cyber world. In other words, you know, social media is a big tool for all of us. And why not, you know, try to raise money for things that are actually absolutely needed? Like, for example, ventilators. You know, all these big companies are starting to make them to ventilators. That's awesome. We, as people, can we make masks? Of course. We just needed to find out how. And, you know, when these dressmakers were like, listen, we're not making dresses. Let's make masks right now. It was like, oh, my God. And then they are actually medically, accurate as well. So it's not just making masks. It's actually medically accurate. So all the nurses and the doctors are getting proper masks delivered to them, so that way they can protect themselves and others as well.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And that's amazing, Tony. And I think, you know, to kind of to your point is, you know, people might feel lost right now. It's like, how do I help? How do I help? Or can I even help? And maybe people default to, well, it's beyond my control. I can't do anything. When really that's not true, where it's $1 affects something, you know, or helping out in any kind of way helps, you know, within the limitations and boundaries and stuff. So, I mean, it's fantastic that you're doing what you're doing. And if people listening to this and people following you and following my wife on social media, it's like, with all everyone's followers, it's like if everyone puts in $1 to the GoFundMe,
correct?
You know, can you imagine like what that could do? So it's just I wish people had more of that mindset to be able to be like, okay, all I can do is $5. Great. That's $5 more than, you know, a lot of other people.
Correct. Well, that's the thing is, like, no donation is too small or no donation is too big. It's just, and the other thing on top of this, what we try to do is, like, when you said we have to make a difference, you know, I know a lot of people are at home. They don't have gyms at home. They want to stay active. They want to do that. Us as a FedEstate organization, we decided to do FedEstate online lessons, which are free lessons.
Wow.
So FedEstateOnlineLesson.com. If you go there, you have free lessons. You could learn how to dance. You could stay active because, I mean, everybody makes this goal about working out. Truth is, working out is boring, okay? And besides, you get so sore, you can't even move the next day.
Now, so, I don't, Tony, you know, Tony, Tony.
Why not spend time by learning how to dance, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with the broom, whether it's with your kids, you can learn how to dance. Why not?
Tony, I did Dancing with the Stars, and let me tell you, I've never been more sore in my entire life dancing. I tore my intercostal muscles. I had bruises all over my body.
I don't even think I ever saw Jana sweat until I saw her dance.
Exactly. So don't you say that dancing does not make you sore. I will totally smack you through this microphone.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. It's like dancing works on the fiery muscles, the muscles we forget about as well. So, but that, you know, it's funny because a lot of times people think that they have to be good dancers in order to take lessons. That's the whole point of it, is you don't have to be a good dancer. You can learn on the platform and, you know, just move a little bit and dance to the music that you like to listen to and so on. It keeps you active. That's the thing. It's like, one of my friends yesterday, because I did a class, immediately afterwards they called me. They're like, I got to tell you, all I've been doing lately is listening to news. And I didn't realize I was sinking into this depression. And now that I took your class, I feel like, oh my God, I'm like back to being myself.
Oh yeah.
So sometimes dancing does give you that escape that we all need, especially in this during these times that everything that you turn on to is negative.
That I love that message right there, because it's so easy to get sucked into all of this stuff, because every network, every channel, everything on social media, there's so much just negativity around this news, and to do something like that to get yourself back into being you is an unbelievable message, along with what you're doing with the Million Mask Movement, which you can find on GoFundMe.
Go to the GoFundMe and give back and put a little salsa in your step. Right, Tony?
Yes. Yes. A little salsa, a little hip action. A little fun.
Oh, gosh. I'm getting trauma just thinking of Dancing with the Stars. So, Tony, you're the best. Thank you so much. And
you're very kind. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Thank you, Tony.
We appreciate it.
All right, so we have these two guests on that I read a story about them.
Oh, don't say it yet. Get them on the phone first, because I want them to hear this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, as my wife just corrected me.
No. No, because I think it's cool for them to know, too, how I randomly Instagram them.
Okay, let's start over.
Okay. No, that's good.
Okay, that's good stuff, she says. This is all gold right now, you guys. All right, let's welcome Nikki and Bradley Bozeman to our show.
Nikki, Bradley.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, guys. Hey. How you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Good. Thanks for coming on our show with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having us.
So Mike was just about to tell the listeners how this came about, because this was 3 days ago. I think you came in to the room and said.
Yeah, I was telling Jana, you know, I was checking on the ESPN app and, you know, they had just done a story about you guys about, you know, living in an RV and then traveling, not just that, but the fact that you guys were traveling across the country and then going to different schools, you know, talking about anti-bullying and doing like an anti-bullying campaign. And I came to Jane, I was like, this story's amazing. Not just, you know, the RV thing is novelty and people get, you know, really attached to that. But I'm like, the fact that you guys are taking time in your busy off season to go do this and talk to young kids about this anti-bullying, which is such a sensitive subject these days, you know, really stood out to me. And I, you know, just commend you guys for doing that and committing to that.
I will say, yeah, thank you. It's been such a good journey. And I mean, unfortunately got to get cut a little short, but, just, you know, the time that we did have was such amazing. Just the feedback we got was, I mean, unbelievable.
I'm sure. And so our listeners know too, you know, Bradley, you're in your second year with the Ravens, correct?
Yes, just finished my second and then going into my third.
Okay, so Bradley's an offensive lineman with the Baltimore Ravens, going into his third year, Alabama alumni, and his wife, Nikki. How long y'all been married?
It'll be 1 year on Monday.
Wow, congratulations.
Congrats, guys. That's so
Thanks.
Exciting.
Yeah, we've been together, what, over 6 years?
6 years.
Six years, but married 1 year.
Aw.
Good for you guys. Did you both go to Alabama?
We did, yep.
Okay. I love it. College sweethearts. So back to your whole like traveling, your anti-bullying campaign, what inspired you guys to kind of start that adventure?
Yeah, so we kind of both realized we had a commonality growing up, obviously, by because we were both very tall. I played center in college in basketball, and he was the center on the football team, and that's kind of how we met. And then, but we realized that we both kind of obviously looked different because we're bigger, taller, and all that. So when we were growing up, you know, we were picked on for that. So just kind of sharing our stories with each other, and then there was a girl that reached out when we were in college. She was getting heavily picked on because of her race. And so they asked us if we would, like, send her a message just, you know, to say hey and just, you know, give some positivity to her. And we were like, oh, well, why don't we come to the school and why don't we talk with her? And they were like, actually, while you're here, will you talk to the whole school? And we were like, sure. Like, I have no idea what we're going to say. I don't know what you want us to talk about. They're like, we don't really know. Just, you know, go for it. So we ended up going up there with no speech, nothing prepared, nervous as all get out. And, but it ended up, you know, we're just super blessed that God put words in our mouth and it worked out great. And then what we got in the car afterwards and we're like, all right, this is what we were meant to do. So it kind of started there and it's kind of climbed ever since.
Have you had kids reach out to you and that way you guys can also feel the impact and to, you know, because I know when we go out on the road and people are like, oh my gosh, you've helped me so much. It helps us fuel to keep going out to do, you know, what we do on the podcast. So have you guys also, has that helped you to continue this tour?
Yeah. So we've had, this is our third year having this foundation. And just on this tour alone, we had hundreds of kids reach out to us. We had custom trading cards built, that have obviously Bradley on the front of them, but it has everything about our foundation on the back. And it has, a website where there's a dedicated email where kids can, you know, email us with questions or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And those emails go directly to Bradley and I, and we answer, we've probably answered a few hundred just in the 4 weeks of the tour, but we've probably answered, it's hundreds in the matter of 3 years. So it's been amazing just hearing kids just feel comfortable in sharing their stories and stuff like that. So that's kind of made it all worthwhile.
Is there something as parents that we can do? For example, like our daughter, she's already off the charts on her height. And I've, you know, as a parent, I also know that the, like you said, the taller kids, taller girls, especially have, you know, would get picked on a lot. And so I've been always worried about that. And Mike, can you can attest to that too. Like I've just been kind of worried, you know, for Jolie because I want her to embrace her height. And, but, you know, I get scared of the kids that do bully. So is there anything that we can do to be proactive to help her if she continues on the chart growth?
Yeah, you know, it's hard. I mean, cause it's hard because I know boys are like self-conscious about everything anyway, but then when a girl's taller than them, it's just mm-hmm. like, you know, they're, you know, I don't know. It was just, for me, it was just all the guys that were super short. And I tell kids, I was probably 5'8", 5'9" in like the 6th, 7th grade. So I was really tall, really, really early. So I would say as a parent wise, and it kind of goes for what we talk about in our speeches too. We talk about like finding your outlet or your passion or what you love to do. And we explain to the kids, like if we woke you up at every morning at 3 a.m., what would you be so excited to do? Like, doesn't matter every day, every other day, whatever. And that's kind of your passion, your outlet. And mine turned into basketball. I didn't really know that at the time, but I just, looking back, that's every time I was happy or sad or going through something, I always found myself in the gym. And then Bradley was football. So we say, you know, it can be a musical instrument. It could be podcasts. It could be YouTube videos on hair tutorial. It could literally be anything, but it's just something that they love to do. And starting that early. So like right now, you know, we tell the kids, like, take time for yourself now, because you don't want to get to the point where we call it the mound of crap. But everything that's going on and the stressors of life and everything that's going on around you, when you get to the top of that mountain, you know, that's where we go to talk to these kids, because suicide is one of the leading killers in teens over the past 10 years. And it's like, that's something that we're hoping can be preventable by things that we're going and talking about and preaching. So our message is to kind of start early, and you don't want to get to a place where you feel so bad that you're like, okay, I need something to do. You know, you want to start it early and figure out what you love to do. I loved baking when I was younger, so I know, like, just being able to do something every day that's constructive, and just get that in a rhythm and in a habit, because then you'll find yourself, like, if something is going wrong, or as a child, like, as I was getting picked on, I would always inherently go back to the gym. So that kind of started early with playing sports, but that's where I always found myself. So I would say maybe, like, practice something and see what they love to do. Like, and it can be anything, but just kind of get that, like, mental training, I guess, in early, so that, like, when they are sad, that is what they fall back on, and it's constructive.
That's great advice.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And have you guys, you know, Bradley, have you guys both started to reach out to maybe teammates or former teammates to, you know, help be advocates for some of this? Because I know, you know, just being in that kind of situation when you're a professional athlete or collegiate athlete, kids just naturally kind of hold on to what you say or what you've experienced a little bit more. That's just the way society's kind of been. So you have this platform which you guys are using incredibly. So have you considered, like, reaching out to other teammates that maybe have gone through this when they were younger to for them to come out and share their story?
Yeah, for sure. We've done that in the past too. I know Cyrus Jones came out with us to one school and talked and, you know, told his side of his story, and it's been really good. And then we're going to, you know, obviously in the future, we're going to continue to do that. Just whenever people, cause we don't like to feel people, make people feel like they're inclined, like they need to come out. They have to come out. We want them to come out because they want to, and they see the good that, we're trying to do. And it's just, you know, it's been such an amazing journey for us, and just so, you know, just, I can't say anything but other than amazing. And just so glad we've gone down this path and taken this journey. It's just been such a great journey so far.
No question. And do you have a end game with this, a dream of this, like where you want to end up being? Is it something that you just can continue the touring every off season? Is it something you want to have, you know, almost like your own Boys and Girls Club for people to come to? Like, what is it for y'all?
Yeah, so we have a few different things. We love going into the school, so we love, like, the hands-on side of it, just to get to talk to the kids and, like, put a face with a name, and we just love that side of it. We also feel like we have a really, really strong cyberbullying and anti-bullying law in Maryland. It's called Gracie's Law 2.0, and it's, like, one of the strongest in the country, or it is the strongest in the country, and I encourage people to kind of look that up, and it's just an amazing law. It was a terrible situation that happened, but it's an amazing law that came out of it. So our next goal is to hopefully take that to states across the country, because, you know, it's kind of like we feel like, you know, when you're preaching to someone and it's just kind of like a slap on the wrist, it doesn't really resonate as much as when you say, okay, look, like, you could have to go before a judge. Like, this is serious, and we take this very seriously. So we feel like that's another way to leave lasting change, is to be able to give these kids that are going through such awful times a way out, a way to say, you know, this is not okay, and this person needs to be held accountable. And so that's another goal. So we're, when all this craziness gets done with the coronavirus and stuff, we're going to try to sit down with some legislation here in Maryland to see if we can broaden that to other states.
For sure. Speaking of the cyberbullying, again, like for parents, it's, you know, it's, I feel like when it comes to cell phones and being on social media, if you don't have the social media, then you're bullied because you don't have it. But if you do have it, then you're right. torn down because you're not wearing the cute outfit, or you weren't told you're pretty and you don't have enough likes. Or so it's, as a parent, it's like you're kind of damned if you don't. Or is it just the monitoring? Or, I mean, what do you do, I guess?
Yeah, it's hard and there's no right answer. Like, it's always, we have so many kids that have, like, young kids right now. And so it's kind of one of those things where, like, when you're a mom, you know, you're going to have all the other moms that tell you how you should be a mom, but you know, you're the mom, you know what I mean? Like, you're the parent. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. And I think every situation is so different. But I do think it is, you know, having that open communication with your kids. I mean, we sat down, my family and I sat down at least 3 times a week at a dinner table and ate dinner together and talked about our days. And, you know, as a parent, you can see when something's going on. You know, they might not say, hey, this, and this happened, but you can see when, you know, they're not looking at you the same way or something like that. And you know, it's your kids and you'll be able to feel that. But I just encourage to take that time and, like, you'll know, your instincts will come out. But you know, you just have to be alert. And we tell people, you know, you're going to talk to your kids about alcohol. You're going to talk to your kids about sex. You're going to talk to your kids about drugs. You're going to have to start talking to your kids about the internet. And it's just one of those necessary evils that now we're living in. And so you have to be briefed enough to talk to your kids about it and, you know, everything that's going on. So making that part of an open conversation instead of trying to kick it under the rug has been one of our points, is like, throw it out there, put it in the open. Everything, you know, you talk about, you know, girls wise, what you should and shouldn't be doing and how people should and shouldn't be treating you, that same thing goes for online. So just stuff like that is kind of the best advice we have. Obviously, we don't have kids yet, but with our friends that have gone through it and hundreds of these kids that we've mentored, it's funny because all their stories might not be exactly the same, but all the topics are similar. You know, we get like that self-harm and that cyberbullying and all those topics that are similar, but that it's just every instance is just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I'm sure the feelings that they're feeling are pretty universal across the board as well, with the shame and the guilt and the sadness and the hurt, whatever it is. And how did you guys, you know, being recipients of bullying when you were younger, you know, did you guys feel comfortable leaning on your parents, or was there somebody in your life that you kind of talked to about this?
So that's, we're opposite. So Bradley kind of really leaned on his family and was really able to open up to them, and they were able to mentor him. And I could have leaned on my family. I just didn't. And I was that, like, kind of that headstrong, just, you know, I got it, I can figure it out myself type of person. And I just didn't. Obviously, when we started doing all this, my mom was not too happy with the person. She's like, why didn't you tell me this was going on? And I'm like, I just didn't. I didn't want to. Like, that wasn't my thing. I wish I would have maybe back then, because it probably would have stopped pretty quickly because my mom would have marched over there, you know. But right. But I just wasn't that type of person. So I think we differ in that way, where I really leaned on, you know, what I did on the basketball court as, like, what I love to do and how I practice and how hard I practice and how often I practice. And that was just kind of my thing. That was my outlet. That's what made me feel better. And it kind of got me through it, you know, but it just depends. Bradley's message is more, you know, he leaned on his family and that was able to help him. So it just kind of depends on the person. I do wish, looking back, you know, that I would have opened up with maybe some people around me, but it's hard. I mean, it's hard when you're a kid and you feel like, you know, you're the only one going through this. And that's something else that we get, you know, just kids in general. Like, I didn't even know. You know, at the end of our speech, we leave about 30 minutes and kids open up and talk about, yeah, you know, their concerns or things that have happened with their friends or stuff like that. And that's been the most life-changing. It'll be the most life-changing 30 minutes you'll ever have, because you have complete strangers. You know, we've had kids, you know, tell us they've tried to commit suicide multiple times, and there's, you know, everything, the whole gamut of it in that 30 minutes. So it's just kind of, there's so many, there's so much going on, you know, but for those kids to feel like they can share with us, that's really why we're trying to be their advocates And someone they can reach out to. So whether that's in that 30 minutes or it's online through emails, we've just tried to be that person when it's hard to open up to an adult.
Yeah. And, you know, that's so amazing. And we can relate just in the sense of when we do our live shows and when we have this random couple in the room of hundreds of strangers and they're willing to be emotional and vulnerable about their relationship. When Jana and I do that, we're like, this is the exact reason why we do that. So I can't even imagine that coming from children.
Oh, from a kid, it's like...
From a kid, like, oh, how much more impactful that is. So you literally, like, so much respect and hats off to you guys for doing what you're doing and using y'all's platform the way that you are and your stories, because you guys are changing kids' lives, which is incredible.
Where's the website? What's the website that, you know, that the moms and the kids that are listening to, well, not hopefully not kids listening to this, but the moms who have kids that they can maybe like email in.
It's the name of it's Brad, B-R-A-D, Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, Bozeman, B-O-Z-E-M-A-N.com.
And then tour dates and all that. So you've got, when the COVID-19 stuff is over, you'll go back out on the road before season, or will you have to do it after season now?
We'll probably have to do it after season, just because I know they just got emails today or this week that all their training camps and stuff are getting pushed back. So they're going to be like, yeah, which is craziness, which who I don't even know if they say that or not, but it's okay. but they're all getting pushed back, you know, for health for the COVID-19 stuff. So I know once they start, it's going to be heavy hit until almost the season starts. I don't know what that summer's going to look like. I really don't think anyone knows what the future looks like at this point. But so long answer long. We are going to probably go out next year. And we have friends that are in those states. We're going to try to go back and, you know, spend more time with them and go to the schools and really try to get back on that end route where we had to miss.
Well, I mean, on behalf of us and, you know, everyone else, parents and kids, like, thank you for what you do, because that's just amazing that you guys are doing what you guys do. And hopefully I see books in the future. I see all of it. So,
Jana's entrepreneurial mind is going crazy right now with what you guys are doing. And if you guys come through Nashville at all, please let us know, because we'd love to help out in any way that we can and help promote this and continue to, you know, make it grow, because this is amazing.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you guys so much for having us on here and, you know, taking the time to kind of share our message with y'all's followers and really the world.
Absolutely. You guys are awesome. Thanks again so much, you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Nikki and Brad. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I love them so much. I want to help. I want to go to the schools with them and help these kids. It's like kids.
And that's the thing. Just like I said, the comparison of, you know, what we are able to experience and witness through the people that we help, but kids. Mm. Oh,
well, it's the thing too, because it's like, you remember when you're 30. Like, I remember when my high school boyfriend broke up with me, and, you know, it was also my birthday, and so I was upstairs in my room bawling my eyes out. I mean, bawling my eyes out. My world is over. Matthew broke up with me. It's awful. But I go downstairs. My entire family's down there, and I go down there. I put on a smile. Like, did not tell one person that I was upset. And that's what, like, scares me about being kids, because they don't feel like they can share. And then I think back. I'm like, well, why didn't I want to share? I think I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And that scares me, because I'm like, I want Jolie to come down from that call that she gets when her boyfriend breaks up with her and be like, Mom, like, my heart's broken, you know, or this person was, you know, really nasty to me on social media, or this, I feel depressed, or I feel sad, or this hurts, you know, but I fear that they're not going to. And I had a great relationship with my parents. So it's like, why didn't I say something?
No, and that's when Nikki was talking about, like, how she was dealing with all of this. I related a lot to that, because my parents, like, especially my mom, was always inviting me to share things and wanting me to share things. But again, sometimes you just don't.
But, like, why, though? That's what I don't get. Like, both of our moms were so great with that.
Right. And I think that's where it doesn't have anything to do with our parents necessarily. I think there's definitely things parents can do to harm that relationship where you don't want to come to them.
Sure.
But I really don't think there was much of that, especially with my mom, of what harmed me to want to come to her. I just think it is the embarrassment. I think it is still, you know, that people pleasing mentality you have as a kid. You want, because you know how your parents are when you do something wrong, and you know how they are when you do something right. So when you have that embarrassment, you have to bring something to them. It's hard because you don't want to see any disappointment maybe on your parents' face or any concern. And so I don't know. I just think it's something that individuals, you know, process in different ways, and just depends on who you are and then how you are.
Yeah. And probably just, or like not even knowing how to express the emotions.
That, oh, for sure. That too.
You know, you can't really put, I'm not really sure it. My 13, 14 year old self, you know, even before, you know, pre-high school boyfriend stuff, I'd even know how to express, like when I started my period, or
when Bobby made fun
of my boobs being small, you know, and I got bullied for that. Like,
damn you Bobby
for doing that. But I mean, it's just that thing. It's like, did I go home and tell my mom that I got made fun of because my boobs are small, or that I stepped on a condom and Evan McComb laughed at me? Like, no. But I was I was so embarrassed.
Why is he laugh at you for that? Because you stepped on one.
In seventh grade, stepping on a condom.
Oh my God.
You stepped on a dirty condom. And I was
Oh, middle school's the worst.
The worst.
You just cut out those 2 years of
everyone's But like, life I just love great. What Nikki and Bradley are doing, because they're making middle school, like, they're letting kids have emotions and feelings. And that is awesome. Like, when they just said they had, like, the 30 minutes afterwards where they get to share, like, I got goosebumps.
Oh, my gosh. I just want to be in the room for that. That's why I hope they come to Tennessee next offseason, because I want to witness that.
Yeah, I would love to, too. Okay, well, let's take a break, and then let's do some emails.
Let's do it.
Hey, Easton?
Yes?
Do we have any emails?
Yes, we do. Let me pull them up here and get my reading voice ready. I assume you want me to read them.
Please.
Here we go. All right. How about this one? This is from Mary Lou. This is Mary Lou speaking, not me. I'm turning 42 next week, and I've been divorced for 10 years. I'm still single, and I've only had one relationship since that lasted 10 months. Am I going to be single forever? I've tried dating apps, meeting people when I'm out, and even flirted with my exterminator. I don't know what my issue is. I have a great career. I own two homes. I take fun vacations. I feel like I'm a great catch. But each birthday that passes and I don't have someone to share it with, I'm starting to lose hope. What advice can you give me to find that special someone?
So when I was going through the emails and the rundown last night, I read this and I automatically thought of my mom. And I was just like, oh, I can't wait to answer this email, because I know at the time it seems hopeless and it seems like you're never going to find the right person. My mom was single for, she was married for 15, 20 years and then single for more than that. And I remember her just like crying and being so upset, and she dated her tree man, and you know, she just was so desperate to kind of find that love. And I think when she really was comfortable in her own skin and wasn't looking for it and just did her own thing, that's when she, you know, was fine. She finally was like, I think I'm going to be okay, whether I'm single forever. And I didn't really believe her, but that's what she said. But I truly think she was. And then she finally met her person. So I feel like just keep doing you and don't try to be something that you're not, and keep doing all those fun adventures, and you're going to meet someone along the way, I promise.
I mean, yeah, well said. And I didn't, you know, when Easton just read it, I didn't think about your mom in the moment, but that's a great point. That's a great comparison. So Jana has definitely seen this firsthand, and I've seen her date a few people in the time we've been together. But from my perspective, kind of to go off of what Jana is saying, is just enjoy this time that you have for yourself. Enjoy those vacations. Enjoy what you're doing, and find solace in it that you're providing for yourself and successful and, you know, a strong, independent woman. And then, like Jana said, you'll find the right person. They'll come. Don't rush it.
That's good advice, guys. Let that person come to you. I always think when you open your heart to love, that love will usually walk in.
Ethan, can I jump in here? Because there was this guy that reached out to me on Instagram, and I saved it because I wanted to read it on the podcast.
So please do it.
Do you mind if I read this one?
Please do.
So his name's Ben, He goes, "Hey, Jana, my name is Ben. I hope you and your family are doing well. Your podcast have been a godsend. Maybe you address this question in one, but my life has been in disarray ever since me and my girlfriend broke up. For me, cheating on her and not wanting to be honest with her about it. But what made you stay? Why did you want to try and make it work? When I finally came clean, she wasn't having any of it and kicked me out. I want to try and work it out, but she was done. I have been getting help and I only have a fool's hope that we can work it out. Thank you for all you do. Keep up the good work." And when I went to his page, I mean, it is like a dedication page for her. It's just like, "Please forgive me. Like, what I learned today. I mean, just like, I'm sorry video. Like this video here, in case you don't know, I'm sorry for everything." And, you know, I'll kind of answer, like, why I stayed was because, you know, I wanted to believe that Mike could be a better person and be the man that he said he was going to be. Now, obviously, it takes a lot of time. And looking back, I'm like, it's been quite a journey. But it's kind of scary that she's already, like, kicked him out. And because I feel like there's two kinds of women. There's the woman that's, all right, that's it. Get your crap and get out of here. And that's
zero tolerance.
And hey, that's what I always said I was going to be. And then what happens to you, sometimes that changes. And then there's the person that stays because they want to try and work it out. So it does worry me a little bit, Ben, that she had that mentality. Because usually when you have that first thought mentality, it's pretty much like donezo. And the person's like, no.
Yeah.
But if she's giving you any signs of hope, like if she's still communicating with you, if she's still, you know, if she's still giving you something, then I would continue to try to keep asking for forgiveness and say that you're sorry. But at the same time, start just being you and doing you and doing it for yourself, not for anybody else. Because I think that's when I've noticed the change, is when, like, Mike wasn't doing it for me, he was doing it for himself. And that's the change that he finally made, you know, a couple months ago. That,
yeah.
Like, you do it for you and you're not doing it for me. And then over time, you see the growth and the change in that person.
Yeah, and Jana's been able to acknowledge and honestly be able to lean more, be more attracted to me when I'm not so codependent and just trying to feed off her emotion or see how she's feeling and gauge that on how I should feel. And so if you just, like Jana said, just be you and be the person that she fell in love with originally, then I think that's your best opportunity.
And if she ends up, you know, if she's not giving you any sign of hope, then be the man that you want to be for the next relationship. Because that one mm-hmm. just wasn't worth it. And there's might have been a reason because you cheated on her. So, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
So.
Everyone's reasons can be different.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just tough. Because then people will be like, oh, well, if I wasn't the one for you, then you shouldn't have cheated on me. So maybe, I don't know that answer. But, you know, she might just be done and you might just have to say, okay, and be better for the next person because nobody deserves to be cheated on. So Easton, do you have another one for us?
I do. I saw this one come down the line and I'm really interested in your answer. So I'm picking this one. This is from Janet. One of my favorite sayings, and I still use it to this day, is I could totally eat the butt off a skunk right now. From the scene in Montreal.
Hey, I saw that one.
What she's talking about.
And you were hired to be the model for Clothes Over Bros, and you got into the limo, and you were so hungry. As an actress, do you get to make up some of your own lines? Was that your ad-lib, Jana?
That was not my ad-lib. I even asked if I could change that. I was like, a butt of a skunk? Like, who would want to eat a butt of a skunk? And the director's like, well, that means you're really hungry. That you would want to eat the butt of a skunk. And I was just like,
And they fought to keep that line in?
They sure did, Easton.
Wow.
There's living proof on YouTube. I mean, you can sometimes make things up. Unfortunately, especially when you're working in TV, it's very hard because certain things have to pass through network and you can't say certain things. So you have to be really careful. You can kind of move things around a little bit with, if you're saying the same thing, you can maybe work it to make it sound like it can have roll off your like tongue a little bit easier. But pretty much you have to stay somewhat on book for certain things. Other things, I mean, I know some people that improv, there was just one movie there, like the improv most of the whole movie. I can't remember what movie that was that we were watching.
Yeah.
But that was one of the trivia things, is they improvised almost the entire movie.
I feel like if I was an actor, that's how I would be. Just like, these are lines, and I just kind of start going off on my own little tangent. So I'll be tough to reel in. What about you, Easton?
I'm not an actor. I don't know if you guys know that, but I like a little column A, a little column B.
Okay.
It just, whenever I see those movies, like the Curb Your Enthusiasms and stuff like that, where like the entire thing is improv, I just think it's so impressive. But you know, taking words that are written for you and making them sound natural takes an incredible amount of skill. So
thank you, Easton.
You know? Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this was a fun episode, and, let's just go have a great week and keep that distance, y'all.